You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
What happened to Zach taking it back from the break there, guys? Man, my guys are sleeping on me here, folks. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Center. We talked about that 10 minutes ago, Cuddy. I told you he's coming back from the second break. You asked me. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. It is what it is. Well, we, of course, talking combat sports right now. The WBO light heavyweight, light middleweight title on the line tonight in Las Vegas. Take that back in Arlington, Texas. What happened, Big Zach?
Well, it was a kind of compelling fight for a couple of rounds. I mean, you know, Liam Smith, I think he deserved to be there. I mean, he did have the title, but I don't think that he fought the level of opponents that Alvarez did, and he's fighting a much bigger guy, you could see in the ring. And it kind of caught up to him, and by the ninth round, he got hit with a body shot that he couldn't get up from, and that was the end of the contest.
You know, punctuation endings like that, be it body shots, those are really – they don't happen often enough. You know, they can happen often enough because if you want to throw to the body, but Zach, to go to the body, you've got to be able to gamble, and most fighters don't like gambling.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, he did gamble. I was actually a bit shocked because Liam Smith is supposed to be in the same weight class as him, and somehow Canelo just looks so much bigger even in this fight, you know?
Zach, listen, the guy's a master at making the weight. If you watched how he makes weight, he comes down, he's got scientists and doctors and nutritionists and all that kind of good stuff, and they're measuring his pee that goes out of him and weighing his bowel movements. I mean, you name it. They're doing everything they can with that guy. And when it comes close to fight time, be it enemas, any way they can get him down to under 50, 154, they do it. He makes 154 on the line, and then he comes back at 172, 173 pounds come fight time, okay? I don't think it's fair. I think that what a guy defends his title at is the weight he should defend the title at in the ring. In other words, if he's defending the World Junior Middleweight Championship at 154, he should weigh somewhere around 154 pounds in the ring.
Yeah, and that's what Golovkin does. But do you think that that's impressive for Canelo to be beating guys when he outweighs them by so much, even when, like, these guys are supposed to be bigger than him?
No, the flip side to Golovkin is he doesn't put on the weight when he comes down. And he usually walks around about 170, so he only comes down to 160, and he doesn't put on a tremendous amount of weight after the weigh-ins.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, that's how he defends his belts, is basically what you're saying. He's defending it at the weight. He's never much more than 160 in the ring.
But, you know, these other guys, these fake champions and this and that, I don't get it. I really can't. I don't know how you can call yourself the welterweight champion of the world when you're walking in the ring and you're fighting some guy at 162 pounds. Zach, this isn't right. And they're trying to say this is all about safety. This is where they're full of spit, these boxing organizations and the USC as well, the athletic commissions, all this kind of good stuff. They're trying to say it's all about safety, that they're worried about fighters dehydrating themselves and not having the proper fluids in their bodies come fight time and this and that, so they don't want them weighing in the day of the event or real close to the event. But then we have these 175-pound welterweights in the ring. It don't look right.
No, it doesn't. And, I mean, I don't understand, like, how that's even – a lot of times there's, like, some type of rehydration clause, like with belts. Some organizations even have rehydration clauses. But I guess in this case they were able to sidestep that. And one thing that was interesting about this fight that they mentioned on the broadcast is that both fighters neglected to do the VADA testing. And Liam Smith – you know, in Britain, I've heard that they test them year-round, like the British Boxing Board tests them. But with Canelo, I don't know if he was actually tested for this fight.
You trying to tell me they pulled a Julio Cesar Chavez down there in Texas again?
It seems possible. It's a little fishy that the fight's in Texas.
Remember that one, Zach? Julio Cesar Chavez, who just tested positive for marijuana and a steroid or a performance-enhancing drug as well as marijuana. And then when the fight after that, he's in Texas, and they can't find a cup for him to pee in, remember?
Yeah, that's probably the worst excuse that I've seen in that scenario.
The guy said it with a straight face.
They can't find the cup. Like, surely they were in a stadium full of cups.
We did not have a cup. I'm sorry, we did not have a cup. Ishi Smith was the winner, of course, on Friday night on Bounce TV. Are these fights on Bounce TV and these different cable networks? Are they like CBS Sports Network had one tonight? Are they catching on, Zach? Or are we cultivating new fight fans, or is just the same old people watching the same old fights?
I think it's catching on because, I mean, Bounce is just like a random channel that's very new. You know, it's even newer than Premier Boxing Champions. Like, that channel has been – it's come into existence since Premier Boxing Champions started. So I think that's a new audience because I don't even know what's on the Bounce channel. Do you?
No, I don't. When you look at Golovkin now, of course, he world middleweight champion, having broken the face of Kell Brook. Kell Brook's a damn good fighter, man. Kell Brook's an undefeated welterweight, but he was that, just a welterweight, fighting a middleweight. Big jump from welterweight to middleweight. Not too many guys have done it successfully in history. You look back, maybe Carmen Basilio did it well. Did it successfully against Ray Robinson. And, then of course, Ray Leonard did it against Marvin Hagler. But it hasn't been done that often. Guys can't move up that far in weight and win. But Golovkin now, 36-0, 33 knockouts. I mean, if you watched Golovkin destroy Kell Brook last week and your Canelo Alvarez, would you ever think about fighting him no matter how much money's involved?
Well, according to a lot of fans, Golovkin was exposed because Brook hit him a couple times. But I don't know about you, but when I watched that fight, it seemed that something was up with Golovkin and that he was maybe intentionally not looking fantastic in order to lure Canelo into a future fight.
Listen, he basically, what does he have to do, tie one hand behind his back to get a fight with this guy?
It seems like it. And I actually had a question for you. How do you think Kell Brook would fare against Canelo?
Well, I don't want Kell Brook to fight for at least a year. I want his face to heal. He got a couple million bucks, okay? You know, so he's got some money to put in the bank and buy a house and things like that. So more power to him. But I really don't want to see him in action for a year. Because you get a broken face and you get beat down by a bigger guy like that, it leaves its marks, Zach, no doubt about it. Zach, let's talk about the WBO Cruiserweight title, of course. Cry Golowacki was dropped as far as the champions. They lost unanimous nod to a guy. Now, get this. I've been told, and two people told me, one of them was Paco Valcarcel, that Oleg Usyk is the best fighter in all of Europe. He's 10-0 with 9 knockouts. Before he won this WBO title, have you ever heard of him?
No. I mean, I hadn't heard of him, but, you know, there's a lot. I think Eastern Europe is just rising, you know, in boxing the last couple of years.
Well, you know why? We're talking boxing, of course. This is the WBO Combat Sports Report brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Of course, they're having their big convention. We'll talk about that in hour number two. But, I, you know, Zach, when I look at this whole picture right now as far as fighters coming out of Eastern Europe and Russia and this and that, and I've said it in the past, when you have to wipe your ass with a rock, you will do things, you will rise above.
Yeah, that's one of the key factors in a lot of successful boxers. I mean, it's that rise from struggle. That's what drives people. And that's just in Eastern Europe, they have a lot of struggles. They've had a lot of struggles over the years, and it's a tough place to come up. So I think it makes tough fighters.
There's a picture of Andre Ward at Fight News. Have you seen it? About the press conference he had today with Sergey Kovalev in Texas. Of course, they're doing this press tour for the November 19th HBO pay-per-view bout. But it looks like Andre Ward's got some gray hair in his mustache.
Maybe he's getting up there a little bit.
32 years old. He's got that Just for Men stuff, and he's got himself a little goatee. You know what, though, Zach? You know, he is true to his image. He really is a son of God. All that God stuff, that going to church stuff, he's really into it. I mean, he's had the same girlfriend as high school sweetheart since junior high school. They've got like 4 or 5 kids together. They're happy. I mean, he's the American dream personified, man. A black guy coming out of the hood, fighting his way to an Olympic gold medal in the world championship. I think that's the American dream. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I feel bad for him that people aren't tuning in to see his fights more, because he is like the type of person that you would want to represent boxing. I mean, the guy does everything right. He fights all the toughest opponents. He's undefeated.
But Zach, he's only fought twice in the last 3-4 years. That's what's going on here. And he's been in litigation. He's been injured. You know what I'm saying? Listen, what have you done for me lately? I mean, Alexander Brand, is that something to brag about?
No, and I mean, well, this is his way to get back in the conversation. And I think if he beats Kovalev, I'd personally have him as the pound for pound number one, especially after seeing Chuck Liddell struggle recently.
And if all right, that I can understand. And if Kovalev won, I guess he'd have to grab the same honors.
I think so. I think that this is the battle for the pound for pound number one spot, because Andre Ward is probably a Hall of Fame fighter. Kovalev might be there too.
Andre Ward has never lost a fight in his life. I told you about that one junior Olympic fight he lost where he was robbed. I mean, all the people there told me he was robbed. So he's never lost a fight in his life. He's actually perfect.
Yeah, I mean, and when you see him fight, there's not a lot that you can take away and say, oh, he did that wrong, he did this wrong. I mean, the guy just, he's hard to hit, and he's an effective offensive fighter. He fights great on the inside. He fights from distance. Like, he's about as close as you can get to that.
The aforementioned, okay, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the world of mixed martial arts, because the UFC going down, the UFC fight night down on Fox Sports 1. Michael Johnson going to take on he was the winner tonight over Dustin Poirier, a knockout in one. But he's going to take on CM Punk on Fox TV in a couple of months. What do you think about that? Poor CM Punk again or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely poor CM Punk. I mean, that's a tough fight. Michael Johnson, he's been rising in the ranks, and he's been getting a lot of pretty impressive performances like the one he had tonight. You know, Poirier is seen as like a good high-level gatekeeper, and he was able to blast through him in 2 minutes.
Okay, but so Michael Johnson, CM Punk. First of all, CM Punk does deserve a lot of credit for taking the whooping that he took and acting like a man afterwards, right?
Yeah, I don't even know why people were so upset about it. You know, it's like the guy's a big star. Of course he's going to be on the pay-per-view card. You're not going to have him on the prelims.
Yeah, but you know what? They don't want him on the pay-per-view cards anymore. That's why they're trying to put him on the next big Fox network. Because he would do a good pop on Fox, you know what I'm saying, as far as the ratings are concerned. But as far as pay-per-view is concerned, I don't think anybody's going to throw down some money to watch him fight on pay-per-view again.
No, he has to earn that now. And who knows? I mean, maybe he'll improve. I don't
know. Oh, Zach, come on. You try to push that BS bias. You know, my listener, there's some little old lady in Utah rolling. What did he just say? Is that man crazy? Come on, Zach.
I couldn't say it with a straight face.
Derek Brunson beat Uriah Hall tonight. Another battle of guys at middleweight. But Uriah Hall was a gatekeeper for a while. He lost on a TKO in the first round, a minute and 41 seconds in, to Mr. Derek Brunson. Evan Durham was on the card. He beat Rick Glenn. There wasn't a whole lot of names on this card. In fact, I don't know a whole lot of these guys here. Benign Muhammad, I never heard of these guys.
Yeah, I've heard of Derek Brunson. I remember he had that fight with it was a memorable fight with Yoel Romero where he actually didn't make it to the restroom in time.
Yeah, that was a little gnarly, no doubt about it. So real quick before we close up our WBO boxing report, WBO Combat Sports Report, Canelo Alvarez. Can he compete with Gennady Golovkin, or am I just saying that, you know, he's scared of him and this kind of stuff, but can he compete with Golovkin?
You know, I just, as much as HBO wants to say that he has such impressive defense, I saw a guy laying on the ropes and he got hit quite a bit, I thought, and he can't lay on the ropes like that against Golovkin. I don't know if his stamina can withstand that. I really wouldn't expect that fight to go the distance if he fought Golovkin. I think it would be a pretty ugly fight by the time if it ever does happen.
This is your Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Don't forget, the WBO and Pedro, Johnny Taco as well, in Puerto Rico, October 17th through the 21st at the Caribbean Hilton Hotel. That's right, the Zika virus. I don't know about that. You know, I always thought a little head was a good thing, but not with Zika. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.